of course, we'll promote it, and you know, I hope it's you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty fat.
Good.
I hope it's fucking good.
Hope it doesn't fucking suck.
Yeah, hope it doesn't suck.
Yeah, that'll be good.
No, I'm sure it's probably like, you know, I'm sure he's. I can only imagine the stories that he heard, because basically, if we remember correctly, he talked about how it was sometimes. Stories of the survivors, of the people who were left behind and affected by the, the addictions and the suicides.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a big thing, too. Yeah, it's not just the actual addicts that get affected.
And it was really a lot of interviews with the people who were left behind to deal with it.
Right.
And try to figure out what the hell happened, and why... You know, and I mean, even with myself, and my good friend who took his own life, I still, I'm like, what should I have done? It kind of beat me up for a good year,
Well, one of the unfortunate.
I still reflect on him and.
Yeah, of course.
But I knew that there was, obviously, I wasn't able to save him. He was, you're only able to save yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
you can't make somebody do something they don't want to do.
That's right. So. But it's real, and if you have friends out there who have that problem, and get them help. It's tough. I mean, you're always their friend, but don't be their friend enabler, I guess.
Don't be an enabler. That's not a friend. All right, so an enabler is not a friend.
Yeah.
So somebody who enables somebody because you want to feel like you're compassionate or feel like you're not, and this goes outside of drug addiction. This goes with like mental illness too. Yeah. Of people who are like, rather than being like, hey, I think you have a problem, or I think you're doing this and this is kind of crazy and I'm concerned about it. It turns into like, well, that's just the way this person is. So
that's just the way it goes.
We just have to go along with like, no, you're just enabling this person because you don't want to be confrontational, because you want to have the appearance of being compassionate, but you're really just kind of lazy and narcissistic.
Yeah.
But that's, that's kind of a rough criticism, but,
it's true, and I think those are some of the things that I actually had to get over myself.
Like, don't enable people.
Get over myself, and I mean, I knew what he did, and to the degree, I'll make excuses for him. I'll say, I should have never gone back to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's
a rough place.
It could have happened, but I guess, when in Mexico, the drugs suck because they send them all to the United States,
Not the highest quality,
they're not the highest quality.
They send the cream of the crop to the U.S. Yes,
yeah. So
they can get a huge amount of money for it. Yeah.
So, which, probably, he was a maintenance heroin addict is what he was.
Like a functional heroin addict?
A functional heroin addict.
Yeah.
And he maintained himself. But he never, shot heroin, intravenous or anything.
Yeah,
He would mix it with, water and then drip it in his nose.
Oh, like coke kind of?
Well, kind of, but not really. Yeah. But it was just and he used to say, I got to put it on my marshmallow shoes. That's what he would say. he would say, he goes.
Probably because he couldn't eat.
But he was definitely bipolar. He'd been, diagnosed as bipolar.
That sucks, man.
And, he didn't enjoy the antidepressants and the drugs that they put him, the pharmaceutical drugs that they put him on, because basically he's just like, I'm not myself,
Clozapam or something.
Like, yeah. So, when he left Philadelphia, he knew he had to get out of there because it was just bad news for him. And his real love was actually crack in Philadelphia. He loved smoking crack.
Look what it did to Bill K.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby.
Probably
with a K. Fuck you. It's after hours.
Yeah. It's Puddin' Pop. It's Puddin' Pop.
He raped people.
Yeah, he raped people. But, so he knew he had to get out of there. He'd gone through another rehab and he gotten out, and he goes, I have to leave this town. I can't stay here no more. I'm going to Mexico. And I was like, that seems kind of weird. I was like, people are leaving.
Of all the places you pick.
People are leaving Mexico.
It's not like I'm going to Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah.
It really clears my head.
Okay. I was like, let me know how things are going.
Go to Juarez. And you're like, Juarez.
He went out to San Diego and then went down into Rosarito.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So down into Baja, Mexico.
Yeah.
But
which, there are some nice places.
I really firmly believe that he was actually the happiest in Mexico.
Might have been.
You know, which fit his personality because he could live on the fringe because he loved living on the fringe.
Literally, if you're living in Baja, you're living on the fringe of the United States.
I mean, even in Philadelphia, he was always, you know, on the fringe. Even when I knew him, you know, when we were in the Army together, he'd still just, you know, always looking for like an angle, you know, always looking for an angle. And like when he went back to Philadelphia after the Army and just got rewrapped up and, you know, several times he ended up in rehab, he ended up in jail and, you know, lots of things just went down.
He was like, hey, I'm in the Catskills or whatever.
Yeah, I went to the Poconos.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like a Seinfeld episode.
Well, he was muling coke across the Ben Franklin Bridge into New Jersey for some guys who, you know, did some things. The best way to explain it down at the barbershop, you know, and well, he ended up getting popped, you know, cut a, you know, a couple of keys of coke in the trunk of this rental car. And, everybody was involved. The New Jersey State Police were there. The Transit Authority Police were on the bridge
They're in charge of the, they got sick of guarding tolls.
The Philadelphia Police were there. And they took him down, and he ended up in jail. And after 3 days, they didn't charge him with anything. There was no charges because they were arguing about who actually took the call.
Oh, they're trying to fight over.
They were fighting over who took the call because obviously it's a thing, you know, happened on the bridge.
You're all a bunch of crooks.
We got a bunch of cocaine. We busted a cocaine ring and blah, blah, blah. I knew better. I told him, you know, basically that I just rented the car and I'm driving down to Atlantic City, you know, to do some gambling. I didn't have any idea this was in here. He goes, I didn't roll on anybody. He goes, but after the third day, the lawyer was like, you guys haven't charged him with anything. You have to let him go. Because they were arguing about who was going to like take the call.
They fucked
the caller. They fucked it up. And he goes, I remember walking out of the jail and thinking I was going to die in the parking lot.
Shit.
And he goes, my dad's like, here's some money. Go to the Poconos. I'll call you later.
Go hide in the fucking
Poconos. I'll call you later.
Like some 80s war hero.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're going to find him. He's just going to be like skinning a deer or something. Like, we need to bring you back.
It could be a very interesting story. You know, like, here's your movie plot. Then he surfaced, you know, and that's when he told me, he's like, I'm going to Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you're going to Mexico. You know, what he had finished up was getting 100% disability from the VA. And that came through where he got 100% disability from the VA.
Well, obviously, mentally,
obviously been in and out of rehabs and jail and so just drug abuse. You know, just being fucked up. And he's like, I've got 100%. I'm heading to Mexico. I'm going to register with the VA in San Diego and pull a P.O. box.
San Diego is cool.
He's like, I'm going to pull a P.O. box in San Diego so that, you know, my mail can go somewhere. But I'm going to go live in Mexico.
Yep.
You know, I went, you know, me and my wife went down and saw him after he lived there for about 2 years. And we had a great time.
What kind of places are you living in?
Well, he had a couple places.
Oh, Jesus.
It's great to live in Mexico.
I guess.
You know,
what's your rent? Like $17.
Yeah.
Like, so it's this. Had, like, or this Detroit?
Condo. He had a condo like right on the beach. You know. But what I found out was like when we were down there in July, he's like, I'm like, man, I want to go get in that ocean. He goes, you don't want to get in there. He's like, it's fucking freezing. I'm like, no, it's fucking Mexico.
Side, right?
It's like, this is Mexico, man. This is like,
no.
He's like, no.
That water's
he goes, you don't understand. He goes, there's like a stream that floats from Alaska.
Bering Strait.
Yeah, floats down to Alaska. And he goes, that water is freezing. He's like, look at the guys out there surfing.
Yeah.
They're in full wetsuits.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think you're full of shit. So I decided I'm going to go. Ooh. We're out there walking around on the beach, and I go, head to the I'm like, ooh, this shit's fucking cold.
It's like fucking.
He's like, I told you. I was
water.
Like, you live by an ocean you can't swim in.
That's why it's cheap. It'd be more expensive if you could swim in it, unless you're trying to join the polar bear club while also living in Mexico, which is probably a chapter. But, you know, besides that, that's a cool little, ocean side.
But as Bernie did, you know, he always was good about meeting unsavory guys and, you know, and finding the element. Like in Mexico, I got down, he had the you know, like he knew kidnappers for the cartel. And
oh,
shit.
Yeah. Well, know, that's why the whole took like, us to border this bar crisis and, thing is a crisis
he took us cartel to, members. He took us to this bar in Rosarito called the Escondido, which means the hidden.
Mm, yeah.
And we go in good. There and there's that's like positive. Nobody in there, just like a couple pool tables.
No, they're all hidden.
You know, he's like, this place doesn't really get going until around 12. I was like, oh, all right, whatever.
When all the victims.
But he's like,
up.
I know Jesse and these guys and shit, you know. And
yeah,
he's like,
cool.
Everything's cool. Everything's cool. And like, we're sitting there shooting pool and we're talking, you know. And, you know, they're like, hey, any friend of Bernie's, friend of ours.
Cool.
And I was like, awesome. And then he kind of leans over and goes, these guys are kidnappers for the cartel. And I was
not
like, what?
Cool.
I was like, what? And he goes, don't worry, nothing's going to happen.
To you.
To you. I'm like,
not to the victims of
not
the
to
kidnappings.
The victim that kidnapping.
Yeah. Don't worry, nothing is gonna happen. Like that's relative, Bernie. That's relative to us.
Yeah. Like even to the point where like when I went and saw him another time in Mexico, I went with another guy who met up with us, my friend Trev, and we got there and we ran around Mexico and had some fun. And as we're leaving, you know, we decide that, you know, we have to go to the border. Either you can walk across the border or you can take a van.
Across.
Or you can take a van.
Or a bus, yeah.
Or a bus. So Bernie's like, get on the bus. You're going to get out of there faster, which
right.
still took like 2 hours to get across the border.
It's not bad, yeah.
Which isn't bad. If we walked, it'd have been like 6.
4 hours.
It'd have been like
six
or
yeah.
seven.
Fuck
and so we're on the bus and we're in the back and, you know, and of course they're with Mexicans, you know, they're going across the border.
As
and,
they do.
And we're sitting there and
there's
I hear
a lot
Trev.
Of them.
I hear Trev, you know, he's talking to this lady in the back and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we're down here visiting a friend, you know, over
yeah,
Rosarito. And she's like, oh, I'm from Rosarito. And he's like, oh yeah, great. He's like, great little town. We had a great time there, you know, and hanging out and having fun. She's like, oh, what did you do?
Oh, Jesus.
And they're like, oh, you know, we went to the beach and then we went
yeah.
to the Rosarito Hotel,
yeah.
and which was historic, you know,
yeah.
which was really cool. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, what else? And she's like, he's like, yeah, we went to this other bar called the Escondido. And she's like, you know, Jesse?
Oh, shit.
And he's like, I guess. She's like, oh. And she got real quiet. Like, stopped talking to him and stopped talking
yeah,
to him.
She thought she was going to be like, yeah, so we're going to put this manila envelope over your head.
But I'm sitting there thinking,
I'm like,
it's like, we're not like, you know, and Trev tells me this.
Because yeah,
he's behind me on the bus.
You know,
he's behind me on the bus, and I'm in like a couple seats forward. And he's telling me the story, and he goes, "Yeah, she got real quiet after I said that." And I was like, "Oh yeah, because
yeah,
I was
why?"
I was like, "Because they're kidnappers for the cartel." He's like,
"I'd shut the
you
fuck
didn't,
up too."
He's like, "Why didn't you tell me that?" And I was like, "I didn't think it was necessary." He's like, "That's why she got real quiet." And yeah, so that happened in Mexico with Bernie, but he loved being an outlaw. I guess wouldn't say a criminal, but an outlaw.
No, but he wanted to live his own life.
He wanted to live his own life and with his own rules, and he didn't want a lot of
it's like reasonable.
Hey, you don't
anarchy,
want the government.
Yeah.
You don't want the government being a problem. Go to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, all you got to do is pay off the police. But he did actually. He almost died in Mexico. Actually,
yeah,
because he got popped by the local police and federalities in Tijuana.
Oh shit!
And he ended up in a Tijuana jail.
Oh shit.
Where he almost died, and the girl that he was with, Gwen, actually saved his life. But he goes, I remember, he goes, I get thrown in jail, and he goes, of course, you know, they're like, oh, you know, he goes, so I called the State Department, you know, the embassy, and the guy from the State Department comes down there and looks at me, and he hands me, like, 3 candy bars and tells me good luck.
What the fuck?
And left, because he apparently got, I don't know, what the whole story is on that, he never kind of really elaborated, but
maybe there was
a drug deal had gone wrong.
And they're like, we can't
he says
help you.
They planted drugs, but you know, but he almost died
yeah.
in there. You know, he got like a fever and like some
oh,
Mexican
yeah.
guy like helped him through it. You know, I'm like, you didn't get a fever. You were fucking withdrawing from
yeah,
heroin.
You were.
You were withdrawing.
Your Mexican cellmate just feeding you burritos.
Well,
like,
no, he was like,
okay?
he's like, he's like, there was at least 20 or 30 guys in the same place that I was in.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It was sure. gross and disgusting. And he goes, it took a long time for, you know, for her to get me out. So, yeah, he had an interesting life. You know, anybody looking for a script, I'll try to give you as much information as possible because it was his life.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's between, you know, like him and Robin Williams and all these other people that we've known, they're celebrities or people that we've known that kill themselves. Like, it's always the people who shouldn't kill themselves that do, and the people that should kill themselves that don't.
But, like, even after, like, you know, he left Mexico and went back to Philly, then he went back to Mexico.
Yeah.
And then he hooked up with this other chick that he actually saved from, like, a cartel's house because she was, like, hooked up.
Well, he knew all the kidnappers.
He knew what was going on.
Like, hey, you don't want to.
But he kept seeing this American chick inside this house who was just, like, completely, you know, basically she had gone septic, you know. She had shot up so much that he went and, like, took her across the border and put her in the hospital and, like, saved her life. You know? And I'm like, it's incredible, you know, that I always remember, like, at the funeral, and the priest was given the eulogy, and he said something kind of poignant that stuck in my head, and I still think about it today. And he goes, "The wounded healer."
Yeah,
he goes, "He can save everybody else except himself." Yeah,
yeah.
You know?
That's a sad thing. And I think, again, not to tie everything back to Robin Williams, but I think that's a little bit of what he thought as he was trying to, you know, it's like all these other roles were like these hyper positive roles. And you could tell he was a guy who wanted to fix things that was wrong in the world. But if you can't fix stuff that's wrong with yourself, it's just going to consume you.
It's going to consume you. Yeah, exactly. And I thought to myself when that priest said it, I was like, oh my gosh, that is
sounds about right. Yeah.
That sounds about right, you know, the wounded healer. So remember, there's people out there who save other people who can't save themselves.
And if you're one of those people, save yourself.
Save yourself.
You know? It's as much as people want to sometimes give Jordan Peterson shit. Like, it's like, came up with that, like, clean up your own room before trying to write things in the world. Because it's not this snobby thing of saying, it's like, oh, well, clean up your own. It's like, no, you can't help somebody else if you're incapable of helping yourself, because the lack of attention that you've paid to yourself is going to be detrimental to anybody that you have in your life after that.
Yeah.
So you're really not doing anybody a service, even though you feel like you might be, because you're helping these people, because you're not helping yourself, and that affects the people around you that you already know.
Or they don't understand why you've helped them and they can't help themselves.
Granted, too.
It's like you saved me, but you're so fucked up.
You end up
with this
leopard colony of people who don't want to help themselves, and you're trying to help them, and then that's a failing effort. But that's almost something where people want to do, because then they feel comfortable in the fact that, like, well, there was nothing I could do for myself because, look, I tried everything for these other people and couldn't help them. So there was no point in me trying to help myself based on this, which is incorrect, but I think some people do that.
Yeah,
even to the point, it,
I think one time when he was kind of in his low point, he said, you know, he goes, I just feel like a giant disappointment to everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm like, you haven't disappointed anybody.
But he felt like he had.
Yeah. And, you know, and then like a guy that we were in the Army together with, he actually made a good point, too. He said to me, he said, he goes, you know, the thing about Bernie, man, is like when you met him, he kind of changed your life a little bit, you know. He kind of like, you know, gave you kind of an insight that you didn't realize or maybe gave you some fun that, you know, that you needed, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I did a eulogy for him, and I described about getting a box of rocks from him. I think I talked about this before, but, you know, even to the point where, like, at the end of, you know, the funeral at the church, you know, one of his aunts came up to me and she goes, you know, Bernie used to send me rocks too.
It's funny because when I was younger, that was one of my big things. That was into a few things, but one of them was like I would always pick up rocks even around the house when I was younger. And one of our trips, yearly trips, because I wasn't a family that had a lot of money. We had enough to get by, but didn't have a lot of money. So our yearly trip was to go to Ruggles Mine in New Hampshire and go pick through and try to pick up some mica rose quartz and chip some stuff off the rocks. Yeah. But that was always cool. And I developed this like rock collection. Yeah. I have a couple shelves like in my room that was set up with all these different rocks that I had found.
Well, I should show you Bernie's rock collection then.
It'd probably be pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, actually. There's a lot of cool shit in there. Like, he would tumble them and get them shined up and tell me, like, you know, even like, again, you know, Sergeant Mack would say, he goes, I just remember walking down the beach with Bernie. He just picked things up and go, this is this.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. You know?
I guess my mom is like, she kind of would collect rocks a little bit, which is why, like, she didn't tell me a story. I just started doing it too. And she was like, oh, you know, she was into different rocks. So I got into it too. I lost a lot. I had a big ass rock collection. But after my parents got divorced, like, the whole, like, all a lot of my shit was just gone because I was in basic training when it was happening.
Right.
So, like, all my. Basically all the shit that I collected.
But yeah, things like that, like him getting involved with like the abalone shells and finding out.
Yeah, I did some little seashell stuff. That's cool too.
Like, you know, and finding out that, you know, like some of the shells that he'd had that, you know, like collectors wanted. Like, because they were like hybrids they'd never seen. Like, he would like.
Well, he knew what stuff was.
He would take the time to like clean them up and get the barnacles and the crap off of them.
Yeah.
And like, you know, run these shells on like a wire wheel, like breathing tons of silica and shit. You know,
I mean, granted, he didn't live the longest life, but at the same time, like, don't breathe that in. That's like,
yeah, silica is not the thing you want. He's like, I'm down here in a mask, and then
don't eat the packets.
It's like, and you know, I mean, which, you know, I learned a lot about abalone shells and the way they, you know, the reason like scientists study them because they're like really lightweight and strong.
Yeah.
And like the steel industry studies the crap out of them because of the way their structure is and being lightweight and strong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he met like a whole community of people who collect fucking hybrid abalone shells.
Well, isn't there there's been a few natural things in history. Like there was a group way back in the day that would have their shields like covered in like this type of silk from the silkworm, was it?
Yeah.
Like
I'm not. I know what you're talking about,
like
but they would like
thing with that.
They would wind it up so tight that it wouldn't arrows wouldn't penetrate it.
Which is crazy. That stuff in nature, if utilized properly, is like
spider
that.
Webs.
Yeah,
strong. You know, they study spider webs all the time because they're so strong. But so I learned a lot about abalone shells. Mexico had you know, like he understood the migration pattern. Like, today we're going to talk about the migration of the abalone from San Diego down through Baja, Mexico, because there's no more like they've completely like migrated out of California down into only into Mexico and things like that.
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, there's like he met a whole guy, like a scientist. We donated a bunch of shells to like the San Diego Museum of Natural History of abalone shells, you know, like a whole bag of them.
That's cool.
You know? And we made a bunch of money. We like, I don't know, the biggest sale we ever had on abalone shells. We sent a whole lot of shells to, I want to say, Romania.
Yeah.
To this guy who collected, and it was like $5,000 worth of like shells. And then he sent us like a bottle of cognac that was terrible. Like Bernie, like he sent one for Bernie, and then Bernie mailed it to me, and he's like, yeah, he said this is what Kissinger drank when he showed up. And first of all, I was like, oh, let's see what this is about. And so I'm pulling the cork out and the cork broke. That's not a good sign. It was very dry. And finally,
bad bottle of cognac.
Yeah. And finally got the cork out, and me and my mother-in-law had a shot of it. She was like, like, this is terrible. But
yeah,
I found like
sure
I dumped it in a decanter bottle. And like had this the bottle that I dumped it in and like let it air out for about a month, and it wasn't so bad.
Even still,
I was just like, Kissinger has no taste.
I think he got a dried out bottle. If you get something with a dried out cork.
Yeah, it was corked for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I gave a good majority to the Angels.
Yeah, let that shit air out.
But so an interesting time, you know, with my life with Bernie and the abalone game. Selling shells by the seashore, as he would say. But when he started telling me, it's like abalone, man, he goes, I know there's people who like have like their whole backyard is full of abalone shells.
Damn.
I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. He goes, they're everywhere down here. And he's the guy who took time to like clean them up. And when he started finding things, and like he'd post them up on like abalone, you know, pages and stuff, people are like, "Where did you get that? We've never seen that before."
Oh, damn.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, like a lot of the bigger shells are pretty common, and a lot of metaphysical shops will sell them as smudging pots for like sage shit like that. Yeah. But so abalone shells, there you have it. You know, like a lot of them would like, he would send broken ones off to like this guy in was it New Mexico or Arizona, part of the Zuni Nation. He would carve fetishes out of the mother of pearl on the other side.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. It was actually a whole thing.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and we, you know, and then there was Green Dot, and we laundered a lot of money. There you go. So there's my story about me and Bernie and his life in Mexico. You know, if you got a good friend out there who needs some help, get him some help.
Yep.
I'm gonna end it because I'm out of words. Call it an evening. Jason's got the hiccups.
I do. That
sucks. He's got the hiccups. He needs to drink more. That's what Bernie used to say. You need to drink more.
Well,
anyway, that's us. Thanks for listening. This will be out sometime later.
We'll catch you.
Stay tuned.
Next one.